Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
I loved what Brian Fenimore shared with us last week. Fix your eyes on Jesus. What an encouragement. What an encouragement to imagine all the things that will come into play as we choose to fix our gaze on Jesus, who is fixing his gaze on you. And so today I wanted to build a bridge between seeing Jesus and the gift of music. I wanted to build a bridge because I have this incredible fixation on this passage of Ephesians 1:18. Some of you know this passage. Clearly it's something that's been shared here, I know, for a long time. But I also wanted to expand it down to verse 23. So if you have a Bible, would you turn to Ephesians 1:18? So this bridge between seeing Jesus, between fixing your eyes on Jesus, and it's more than just music, but really it's worship, it's praise. We're going to go kind of into that. So I'll segue after I read this. Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he has put all things in subjection under the feet of Jesus and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So this speaks not only of the ability to see with the eyes of our heart, but to see Jesus and to see him in his superiority over all things. And so we've been speaking over this last month about the power of God, and this ties right into, in order for us to really connect with the power of Jesus, it does us well to see him. It does us well to have eyes that are, in this passage, it's metaphoric. I mean, the word eyes there is a metaphoric word, and it means the ability to know. So the eyes are the conduit by which you can gain understanding or know. And this word know there is yada, which is intimate knowing. And it's an experiential knowing, not simply knowing about, but knowing. And the eyes of your heart. The heart there is a word that's translated as the seat of your existence. And that includes body, soul, and spirit. So your mind is a part of this. So it's not like we're asking anyone, nor is the Lord asking anyone to turn off their brain so that they can see. It's a part of the fullness of who you are. The whole package, body, soul, and spirit. And so you know you have a physical heart. It's the seat of your existence. It stops, you stop. and you have a soul that has the capacity to think and to, you know, perceive and to express, and then you have a spirit that has been united with the Spirit of Christ. And I would say that we're not trying to compartmentalize here. Like, let your entire being experience and know yada Jesus. So may the eyes of your heart be enlightened. And the word enlightened there is to cause something to exist. So it's like the lights come on. It wasn't there before the lights came on, but now that the lights are on, you can see it. And so that would be known as a revelation, right? A revealing. So may the eyes of your heart be enlightened. May they see. And what are they encouraged? What are we encouraged to connect with and see and know? Well, the first is the hope of his calling. The second one is the glory of his inheritance. And the phrase there, inheritance, is, if you dig into the deeper meaning of that, it's the eternal blessings of the consummate kingdom of God. And the word consummate here speaks of union. It's like, okay, enter the bridal paradigm. Jesus is a bridegroom king, and the church is the bride. And so there's these blessings that are our inheritance as the people of God that he is extending to us. And for our hearts to connect with that, we have to see. Like, so there's this beautiful invitation to gain hope, to connect with the inheritance, the eternal blessings of his kingdom, and also his power towards you. Now, that word power there is the same word that's used in the book of Acts, Acts 1:8, when Jesus encourages his disciples that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. And that word power is the word dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. And so it's an internal thing that expresses itself outwardly. And the thing about this power is that it's power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. So God, by his very nature, is power. And so for God to be in you and for your spirit to be united with Christ, this is something that God wants to awaken you to. He wants to reveal to you as the eyes of your heart see him. See this. This is where you connect with it spiritually and emotionally. And also, I believe that it manifests itself physically through healing. And so let me just ask this question. What are, if we were to think in terms of like the inheritance, the glory of his inheritance as eternal blessings, can you speak out for me? Just take a moment. Just say what one of these blessings are. What is part of your inheritance as a child of God? Eternal life. Knowing and being known. Peace that passes our own understanding. Belonging in the family. Unconditional love. A renewed mind. Wisdom. The ability to see others. Hope. These are all part of the eternal blessings that are given to us as children of God, and they are part of, you know, our inheritance as sons and daughters in the kingdom of our Father. In a phrase, all of these things are absolutely true. I would say intimate union with the Spirit of Christ, especially as experienced to be true through your spiritual senses, including the eyes of your heart. And so, intimate union with the Spirit of Christ. And the way that intimacy works, obviously, is it's very experiential. It's not enough to have a concept. We connect with intimacy. Our hearts are made for that connection. Do you hear, as people are talking about the eternal blessings of God as our inheritance, do you hear all the core longings that are being met? So here's the deal, friends. We have a choice as to what we're going to be seeing. We have a choice as to what we're going to be looking at. And this is where I begin to turn a corner and we start crossing the bridge. 2 Corinthians. So we don't look at the troubles. we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. So again, it's making the distinction between our natural senses, our eyes, seeing circumstances, or our spiritual eyes, the eyes of our heart. Which ones are we going to be looking through? Like, you know, so we choose, we have a choice, and it says here that we can choose not to look at the troubles that we see right in front of us, but rather fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. And isn't faith the evidence of things not seen? So as people of faith, as we engage our faith, we have to see differently. I want to just share a brief story here. About 12 years ago, I began a five-month spiritual, it was really the Lord began it, and I was just along for the ride, and it was a spiritual awakening. And it was an awakening to Jesus through my spiritual senses. I had been attuned to the things of the Spirit for years before, but this really like launched, this season launched me into a different experience with Jesus. And it was an experience that met me in real life, like activity, real life situation. And some of it was super fun and positive, and some of it was difficult. But I remember the first time that I began to see things of the Spirit. It was actually when I took a trip into the canyonlands of Utah. And seeing things that were spiritual, even though I was having this natural experience. And I know some of you are like, wait, what did you see? At the risk of going too long into the story, I'll just say that I saw a dark apparition the first night that I was in the canyon. And I went after it, like, as we do, you know, like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus and all of this stuff. And then it dissipated, and it just so happens that it was right over my sleeping pad where I was going to sleep. And so I moved my sleeping pad over here. For 5 days, I was in the canyons with the Lord, and he began to speak to me about, and so this began to like awaken my ability to hear him speak to me as though we're having this conversation. He began to relate some things to me about what I had seen. He began to even question me. And then he began to question me and like, you know, what did you do? And why did you do that? And like it was dark, this dark apparition, and I resisted it. And then he asked me this strange question. Was it evil? And I said, well, it was dark. Did it try to lie to you? Did it try to convince you to do something? Was it tempting you? No, it was just standing there dark. So it was mysterious. Yes. And how did you respond to that? Well, I rebuked it and I went after it. He goes, yeah, you really did, didn't you? And then he started to tie some things together after we walked through the desert for about 3 days. He was like, do you realize that there's parts of your own heart that are mysterious and you perceive them as dark and you're equally harsh to them? But they might be mysteries. And if you stop fighting against them just because you don't understand that part of who you are and step into it, you might discover something of me there. Because when you invited me into your heart, I came even into the mysterious places of your heart. So I began this experience with Jesus where I was not afraid and not ashamed as much as I had been to explore the deeper things of my own life. And then it began to like blossom out into like how I was relating to other people. It began to change my filters on how I was seeing God. And it was just an amazing 5 months. It kind of ended. It hasn't ended, actually. Just to make that clear, 12 years later, I'm still experiencing the fruit of the season. But the season itself, where it became really intense for me, it ended when I was climbing some mountains 5 months later outside of Telluride. And I was in this one section of the valley. There's a lake called Navajo Lake. Then you rise up to this ridge area over here, and there's some trees and a brook. Some of you have heard me tell this story. And it had been raining through the morning. I had gotten up super, super early with headlamp, and I climbed this mountain. And then I came back down and tucked underneath my tarp, and just the rain was there, and it was cold. And so I just slept most of the day until about 2. And then I got up, and the sun was starting to poke through the clouds, and I set up my little seat and my stove and my tea and my food for the evening. And I just purposed in my heart to just sit there, because I had felt the Holy Spirit encourage me to get up, find the highest place in this little section here where the sun would hit you, and absorb beauty. And as I was sitting there, I was sketching what I was seeing, the mountain right in front of me, and I still have that journal. And as I was sketching, and the birds were starting to sing, which is always a good sign after a mountain storm, and the brook was flowing. It was just awesome. Sun on the back of my neck. I began to hear music. And I began to hear this music that was so audible and so vividly clear that I literally stood up, turned around, and looked down the valley to the lake and said out loud, "They brought a whole choir up here?" And when I looked down, there was no one down there. I was like, So I sat back down, and all I heard the Holy Spirit say was just absorb beauty. So I began to do that, and I won't exaggerate, but I will try to timeline it. It was probably about 15 or 20 minutes where this music, and I believe I was hearing worship. I believe I was hearing heavenly worship. And I believe that the veil between the natural world and the unseen world of God's kingdom and the reality of the spirit world became very thin in that space for me. And I began to hear worship. I could not make out the tone, like the actual words, but I could hear the music. And just for you to know, like in that situation, the worship music that I was hearing, the praise that I was hearing of heaven was very festive and lively and beautiful. And it changed the way I experience worship now. From that moment on, well, first of all, let me just say, after that, when I came into a church gathering and there was worship, I was disappointed. Even when I was leading the worship. It kind of ruined me. And but then after I got over that, like after I suspended some judgment, and I began to have the most vivid visionary experiences with Jesus during corporate worship. This is where I'm going to tie the thing together here for us. And I wanted to actually ask Mark and Christy to come up here in just a moment and for them to give us just a sense of what worship and in particular praise has meant for them. Because since then, entering into praise has been one of the most accessible ways for the eyes of my heart to see. And this is my encouragement to us as a fellowship. Because, you know, you have access to thousands of great musicians, and you can access praise music that speaks to your heart, and you can enter into a time, even in the privacy of your own home, in these quiet times that you have with the Lord, where praise can actually begin to help you attune the eyes of your heart to see Jesus. Would you guys come on up? Or at least one or two, I don't know. We didn't rehearse any of this, so we're just going to spitball here for a second. I want to just ask, you know, that question. It's basically, how have you personally experienced the power of worship or praise in particular?
Yeah, this is definitely not prepared. He did tell us at 10 o'clock, hey, I might ask you guys to come up. I'm in a unique situation because it's my living, you know, so there's a very conscious intellectual emphasis on music, understanding it, you know, understanding the frequencies and how they work together and just the timbres and all that kind of stuff. So for me, it's even more so the need to turn that off, that off, turn my mind off, which is very, very difficult. Like meditating to music, squirrel. I mean, it's like, oh, that's interesting. It's like I'm just trying to turn that off. So listening to music actually doesn't do it as much for me. Listening to worship doesn't do it as much as me turning my heart away from trying to understand it and just let the spirit, the subconscious, the, you know, just respond. And then I find two ways that happens. One is when it just naturally happens and I just catch myself praising the Father for something. And that has its own beauty. And then I find myself also choosing, right, where it's like, this sucks, you know, life's, and then I then intentionally make the choice, I'm gonna worship. I'm just gonna, you know, again, turn my eyes off of what's going on and just worship Him, because He is good. He's good. He's good. You know, and that all it takes is that little step of the shift. He's good. And that just, you know, makes it. But for me, actually, it helps to not have, you know, to not do it to CDs, because I'm just too analyzing the production and all that kind of stuff. So for me, it's just no music, just my heart. But that's just me. I hope, you know, I hope you guys enjoy listening to worship, because that is the living that I make. So
I'm getting emotional. Because I just feel like praise is how you breathe and live. It's like how you get through this fallen world, you know. And so it to me, I say it sometimes when I lead worship too. It's like we're prophesying over our own soul. It's like you got to remind yourself who He is, you know, that He's big and His love is big and. So, yeah, I think specifically, you know, with this past year and in losing our grandson, that was, I lost my dad. My dad died in my arms when I was 16. And to lose Charles Thomas was without a doubt the most painful thing I've ever been through. And because it's your children, too. Your children are hurting, and you cannot do anything about it. And so when Mark and Chris were to lead worship that next Sunday, I mean, all I wanted to do was just go to bed and never get out again. But they led worship, and they led the song, Goodness of God, which we did this morning. Just, I mean, this was obviously not planned, as per usual. And so, the Holy Spirit is totally in charge. And so to be able to sing the words, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. You know, even when I'm watching my son fill a grave with the dirt of his son's body, your goodness is running after me. And so, we have to praise. We have to. It's the only way we're going to make it. And He is so good. And it's our chance to touch heaven. I just am so grateful that He's given us that outlet, that way to key into His character, to be able to, love on Him and Him love on us in that way. And I do want to say publicly, thank you for your prayers for our family. I have never walked through anything where I have felt so held by God's people. And I just know, you guys, it's all you. And I'm so thankful for you.
Thank you, guys. So this idea that praise is really a fantastic way to facilitate. What did 2 Corinthians say? We don't look at the troubles that we can see now, but rather fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. And I would say that praise is a gift. Music, worship, praise. We don't need to get caught up in what those words all mean, other than we choose to fix our gaze on Jesus. This is a way that we can practically access this. For some of you who leave these kind of conversations or these talks, you know, these sermons where it's like, fix my eyes on Jesus, Kate. How do I do that? If you've never experienced that before, praise might be a way to access that for you. Okay? And so I would just encourage you to, just go there. And just to be honest, I can't always see. My gaze drifts downward. And when I see the effects of the wind, I sink. Just like Peter coming out of the boat, right? And so the way that I've had, personally been able to lift my gaze is through praise and worship. And I want to just point something out here. I saw this morning on that table. Hannah, she quietly sits in that corner. Well, let me just share something with you. This morning when we were having a time just to reflect and let the Lord meet us, the love of the Father, I had a visionary experience. And I know many of you did. But I just wanted to articulate that the Lord brought me up and out of a safe place that I meet with Him on a regular basis. And He brought me into, literally, I felt like I was in heaven. Not that I was seeing anything other than the heart of the Father. And the vision began with me standing literally in a small brook of water that led up a bit of a hill. And then I just followed it. It was flowing down the hill and I just followed it up. And when I got to the crest of it, it was an ocean. And it was the love of the Father. And the invitation was for me to just get into it. And I had been feeling the trickle, you know. But when I entered into that, I began to experience a buoyancy of my heart. I began to see this. I hadn't really seen this in that context. And what ended up happening was, and I love the colors in this, Hannah. I love the blue and the green and what all that represents in the way of growth and the ability to see from a heavenly perspective. I love all of that. But there literally, and again, this was not in my mind, literally a sunrise, and the yellow sun created a yellow sky and yellow water, which on a good day, you don't want to be in yellow water. But in this particular vision, it was joy. It was joy. And so that's just an example of where your heart can go when you allow music to kind of surround you and let it be a way of helping to facilitate your attunement to spiritual things. So I just want to encourage you, you know, find some music. Allow this year to be marked by the gift of music. In particular, how it could usher you in to a personal encounter with the man Christ Jesus. As the eyes of your heart see Him, and what's revealed to you is the hope of His calling, and the glory of the inheritance that he has for you and his great power that is toward you. And let that inform you this year. If you need recommendations, there's hundreds of great musicians. My most recent favorite is John Egan. He's got a CD called, an album called Unveiled. And it came out a few months ago. And it ties in with something that Mark and I have been talking about for us as a fellowship. When we come together corporately to worship, if we have a choice between a couple of different types of songs, let's choose the song that points us towards Jesus. Okay? There's room for us to let music speak about the condition of our heart, but I don't want us to get stuck in that only. I don't mind if that gives us permission to actually like lament even, or connect with the condition of our humanity, but only in the light of who is Jesus in our situation. Okay? So I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. Jesus, we thank you that this is in accordance with the working of the strength of your might. And so, Jesus, thank you for being mighty in our lives. We receive your power and your authority, and we acknowledge it as superior over all other things. And so, Lord, thank you for captivating our hearts. Thank you for the invitation to join in the song. Thank you that we are created for that. Thank you that our hearts come alive when we see you and when we fix our gaze on you. So Lord, we just thank you for how this year will be marked by very personal and very real experiences with you that help us know you more fully. We just thank you that it's in your heart that this would be something that we experience together. And so, Lord, we give this to you. And we ask you to lead us. We ask you to seal what you're doing now by your Holy Spirit in the strong name of Jesus. That nothing of this that is of you would be stolen from us. But it would only enhance and grow this year. And I pray this all in your strong name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.